Was there something else? Dean Blaine asked uncertainly.
Yes, but not from you, Mrs. Daniels replied. You've been wonderfully helpful. Thank you for coming out to explain things in person.
Ma'am, it is quite literally the very least I can do, Dean Blaine said. Mrs. Daniels walked across the parking lot, eventually stepping off the concrete and onto the grassy area that surrounded it. Sitting beneath a tree, making some adjustments to the straps on his backpack, was a silver-haired boy, thoroughly absorbed in the task at hand.
You're Vince, if I remember correctly.
Vince looked up and gave his friend's mother a polite smile. Yes, ma'am.
I wanted to let you know how much I appreciate you going after my son. All three of you. It must have been terrifying, and I'm so very amazed you all had the courage to do something like that.
It's not a big deal. Herschel would have done the same for any one of us. We're friends.
You're good friends to have. Still, handling someone as strong as George, you must be one amazing super.
Only eighth in my class, Vince told her.
I'm sure that will change soon,
she assured him.
I have a question for you, though. As strong as you are, do you think you could beat me in a fight?
I beg your pardon?
I'm asking you if you think you have it in you to physically render me unconscious, should we engage in an altercation.
Vince squirmed slightly, searching her face for a snicker or smile to show that she was joking. He found nothing.
I suppose I probably could, Vince answered at last. But I'd really much rather never find out.
That is a shame, because the only way I'm letting the young man who helped save my son wander off on his own with no food or shelter is when I have been knocked stone cold out,
Mrs. Daniels informed him.
I'm a little confused, ma'am.
You will be coming home with Herschel and me, where you will be subjected to proper meals and a roof over your head all summer long,
Mrs. Daniels explained.
Along with adequate safety, should anyone else make an attempt on one of you.
Thank you very much, but I couldn't impose, Vince said.
I feel I was quite clear about this already, young man. Either go put your bag in the car or put up your fists, because there are only two possible endings to this discussion.
Yes, ma'am, Vince said, looking deep into her eyes and realizing this woman was 100% not fucking around.
He headed over to the station wagon, where Herschel was already waiting.
She strong-armed you into coming home with us, didn't she?
How'd you know?
I know my mom, Herschel replied with a shrug. If it makes you feel better, you never stood a chance.
Not particularly, Vince said. But I suppose there are worse things than spending a summer with a friend.
It's not excitement, but I'll take it, Herschel said.
He slapped Vince heartily on the back.
Try and enjoy yourself, man. Next year is going to be one hell of an uphill battle. Speaking of, there's this group I hang out with back in Chicago. Sort of a simulated attack strategy group. I think you'll fit in really well with them.
Is this that LARPing thing you told me about?
Exactly. Now, let me ask, what mythical creature do you see yourself as? Because while your hair and cheekbones lend themselves to elf, I personally think you've got the fighting spirit of an orc.
Vince tossed his bag in the back of the car and then buckled himself in. It seemed that summer would, at the very least, not be boring. Epilogue. For what it was, the warehouse was actually quite well maintained. One often expected places such as these to be leaky and derelict. The lack of windows and the single entrance certainly didn't add to the domestic appeal,
though the sprawled-out rugs and series of sofas did bring several degrees of comfort to the equation. It only went to show, good or evil, human or super, at the end of the day, everyone needed a soft place to sit. Persephone limped through the entrance and approached the center area where the others sat. She'd been in too much of a hurry to look for a healer, only pausing to make a quick call from a payphone so they knew the operation had failed. It had been a hellish several hours getting here, and she'd only made this good of time thanks to a car stolen outside a dusty gas station. Persephone had made it halfway across the room when she felt her body lift from the ground and be pulled to a red chair. She was set down gently in the soft leather surface, facing three of her cohorts. The oldest was the one who had relocated her, a powerful figure wearing a tattered and patched red coat that hung to his knees. To his right was a pale, blonde woman, as beautiful as she was silent, which is to say, very. On his left was a young boy, barely over the age of 10, who looked at her with a gaze so furtively curious she couldn't stand to be around him for more than a few minutes at a time.
"The mission failed, and what's more, George was taken,"
the man said, his voice dark, deep, and calm as a mile below the ocean's surface. Persephone nodded. She didn't need to bother with excuses. He was a seasoned warrior. He understood that sometimes things didn't go as planned.
"That is unfortunate,"
the man said, drawing out the word as if he was considering the appropriateness of its use.
"Of all possibilities, it didn't occur to me that our efforts would result in losing George."
"Me either," Persephone admitted.
"Still, you two drew enough attention for our other agent to complete his job, so on the whole, we'll have to consider this as a success,"
the man added.
"And I'm glad you were able to make it back to us, Persephone. There is still so much work to do. Even more, now that we've lost George."
Persephone glanced at her feet, ashamed she hadn't been able to help save George. The mission directives were clear, though. If they were compromised, she was to make escape the first priority. George could hide out in his robot form, where he had no fear of telepaths. She would only have her discipline to rely on, discipline that could be broken by a professional with enough time. As her eyes stared at her worn and dirty shoes, she noticed something. The wound on her leg had closed, and the aches she'd been carrying since the wreck were no longer present. She turned her eyes upward and was greeted by a comforting smile from the man she'd once so greatly feared.
"You don't need to worry, Persephone. I'm not mad at you. You did as you were instructed along every step of the way. And yes, while this operation certainly hit a snag, I find myself hard-pressed to be too upset about it. After all, if he was able to help take down one as strong as George, then I can only conclude my son has flourished quite well in my absence. I'm a bit too topped off with pride to feel anything negative at the moment. So rest well. You've earned it."
The man reached over and patted her on the knee.
"I mean it. Enjoy this downtime, because when we move next, it will be a long while before we stop again."
Persephone understood. She had an area that was hers to stay in within the warehouse, but she didn't want to leave the comfort of his presence. Instead, she lay down on the couch she was already sitting upon and placed her head against the cushy arm in place of a pillow. The future held terrible battles and nightmarish tasks. There was no question of that. For today, though, for just this moment, there was time to rest. This concludes Superpowered's Year One by Drew Hayes. Narrated by Kyle McCarley. Copyright 2012 by Andrew Hayes. This unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with Drew Hayes and was produced in the year 2016 by Tantor Media Incorporated, a division of Recorded Books, which holds the copyright there too. Please visit Tantor.com for more information on our growing library of unabridged audiobooks and to take